Tango Tango Papa 2043, October 25, 2019.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Joliet, Illinois. I think I remember hearing something or other at one time. There was a weird law in Joliet, that if you didn't pronounce it the right way, you could get in trouble. This was, I don't know, it was a law from like the 1800s maybe. But I don't know if it's Joliet or Joliet. It's probably Joliet. potato, potato. I don't know. It's weird. Tomato, tomato. So, whatever. So anyway, I was home last week. I was actually, normally I take off 5 days at a time, and this last time I ended up taking 6 days off. They got me home a day earlier than what I had requested, but I had a dental appointment that happened on Wednesday, so you know, I couldn't change that, so dental cleaning appointment. So I came to back to work yesterday, Thursday, the October 24th. Today's the 25th, so they had me pick a load up at right there, close by at Fayetteville, Arkansas. Then that load I delivered this evening here to Joliet, whatever, Illinois. And so then next, I'm taking a break right now, and then next I'll be picking a load up that someone else has already picked up. You know, they've loaded it and they dropped it. There's a drop yard here and that we have. And so I'll be picking that up, and then that load goes to Lewiston, Maine. And it delivers anytime on the 27th. See, today is... So that would be Sunday, I believe. If today, the 25th is Friday, so you get Saturday, Sunday, 26, 27. So anytime on Sunday, it's going to be late in the evening, probably on Sunday. And when I deliver that load, and then I think that should be a drop and hook at Lewiston, Maine. So, you know, whatever. Don't really care where, you know, where the loads go or whatever. I don't particularly care to drive through Colorado if I can avoid it. And I actually kind of prefer to staying in the eastern part of the country, or even the Midwest, as opposed to the West, or particularly the Northwest. I don't, you know, we're getting into the time of year now, especially in Colorado, where I think they've already gotten some snow, and especially west of Denver. That section of road west of Denver is terrible. I-70, it's really scenic, but it's horrible to take a truck through, even in the middle of the summer. So, and that's what I least like to do, is drive in the mountains in the winter. That is kind of my nightmare. So, I had several things that happened while I was home. My niece, my oldest niece, had a birthday. She turned 39. Then the past Sunday, my nephew got married. So they had a, you know, kind of a nice little ceremony at a, you know, sort of a wedding venue at Rudy, Arkansas. Sort of a rural wedding venue, very nice place, set up specifically for weddings. that they had booked, and that turned out to be a very nice little event, a little ceremony, and then they had the little party afterwards, and so that was nice. My nieces all came for that, and their husbands and families, what have you, and so it was a kind of a nice time. My parents were there, and some other relatives. So I enjoyed that, and then, of course, then on Wednesday I had a dental cleaning appointment, and then came back to work yesterday, Thursday. So stayed fairly busy the whole time I was there, and that's usually the case. I usually will end up having things to do, depending, because I'm only home about 5 days typically out of the month. So I still don't know what I'm going to do. I'm still about a year and a half away from the so-called full Social Security retirement age. And I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I don't know if I'm actually going to retire. But I think what I will do is go ahead and sign up for the Social Security and start receiving it. And then depending on who you talk to, there may or may not be tax consequences, because it just depends on who you talk to or whatever you listen to. It's all very confusing. So I think what I will do is go ahead and sign up for it and prepare for tax consequences, because even if there are tax consequences to it, I still should be financially better off receiving the money and paying taxes on it as opposed to, not receiving it. Of course, I could delay it, and then, you can delay it up to age 70, and then the monthly amount keeps getting bigger, but they've got it worked out so that it's all... it's all actuarially, it's all going to kind of work. They figured it out, how people, the average age that people live to. And so they've got it figured out so that if you take it early, you get a smaller amount, but you're going to live to whatever age they predict. And, so you're going to end up, they're going to end up paying out about the same amount of money that they would have, because they've got that sliding scale, if I'm doing a very good job of... explaining it. So that's what I'm planning on doing, and then we'll just kind of see how it works out. And then once I've signed up for it and I'm receiving it, then at that point, at whatever point, I can decide, do I want to quit or find some other, like a part-time job or whatever, and then I can kind of decide what to do after the fact. So that's my current plan anyway. So unless somebody, I talk to somebody and they come up with some kind of a better strategy. So of course, news-wise, we got all the fake news, fake news, kind of going on. I'm very careful about, I'll look at headlines. I've stopped looking at, it's been months now, I've stopped looking at Drudge Report. It seems like Drudge is... I don't know if he's going after millennials at this point or he's going after a different audience. But lately, I've heard some people say, well, it sounds like he's turned against Trump or whatever. So whatever. Drudge, the genius of Drudge has always been that, at least in my experience or my opinion, what he was good at was kind of finding stories that a large majority of people, including me, would be interested in. And then he was sort of an aggregator. And so I think maybe now he's either he's shifted or he's trying to, you know, he's trying to go for a different audience, or he's trying to be a, you know, more of an, he thinks he's an influencer, and he thinks, I know he thinks he was instrumental in getting Trump elected. I'm sure that, you know, I think he thinks that, or he at least thought that at one time. And he may still think that he's an influencer. I don't know. But, you know, so I've, you know, it's, I've stopped looking at it because there's, you know, there's articles that appear in there that just don't, I'm not interested in anymore. So I'm getting, you know, I still know what's going on, but I'm careful about, you know, I've got some people that I watch on YouTube that do a pretty decent job of kind of figuring out what stories to pay attention to, and you know, and you can kind of tell, you know, if you've got any common sense at all, you can kind of tell what's real and what isn't, you know. And of course, you know, after the Mueller report thing was such a terrible flop, they immediately jumped on the so-called impeachment bandwagon, and that's blown up in their faces, or, you know, and it's still in the process of blowing up in their faces. It's not going to go anywhere. Donald Trump is not going to be impeached, and he's not going to be removed from office. He will be reelected in 2020, and we'll go from there. And I still believe, you know, you can call me naive or whatever, but I still believe that there's going to be a lot of so-called deep state people end up in jail at some point. And it's, you know, justice, the wheels of justice grind very, very slowly. And I think that, you know, it's getting closer and closer to, you know, where these people are really feeling trapped at this point. They thought that, you know, they never thought Donald Trump would be elected. They thought that they were immune. They could just break the rules, break the laws with abandon, and they would never face justice. And I think they've got another think coming. And I think now they're sort of realizing it, and they think that if they can, you know, desperately, if they can get rid of Donald Trump, they can get, you know, make all of this Department of Justice stuff go away and go back to business as usual. And I'm sorry, that's not going to happen. So, in the meantime, it's, you know, they're committing, I think they're committing more crimes probably behind the scenes, and they're going to end up making it worse for themselves. So, you know, there you go. But I think it has to happen. I think that's what we have to have. Now, I don't know what happens with the all of the insane people, you know, and there's plenty of them. I have stopped discussing politics pretty much with any friends or relatives. I won't, you know, won't do it. Now, my parents, of course, were around for the wedding, and my, you know, my parents, especially my mom's, pretty liberal, you know, kind of, you know, Democrat, conservative in many ways, but, you know, kind of, you know, my parents have kind of been diehard Democrats, sort of attached at the hip to the Democrat Party, and so I, you know, my mom was trying to bait me a little bit. And I didn't take, you know, I deliberately didn't take the bait. What you have to realize is that, you know, these people, you know, people really are possessed. They're possessed by, you know, something, you know, whatever it is, they're possessed, and you cannot, argue them away from it. You cannot argue with, you know, reason. You cannot argue logic with someone that is possessed. And so it's best just to not argue at all. Don't talk politics at all. It's not worth it. And even if people try to bait you, you know, and get you to, you know, trick you into, you know, arguing with them, don't do it, you know. And, you know, I don't know. At some point, I don't know what happens. I don't know if, you know, some of them are probably going to end up, you know, kind of totally off the deep end in insanity territory. And other ones, I think, are slowly kind of waking up and realizing that they've been possessed. You know, I think that's kind of ongoing. Of course, you're never going to hear about that in the media. So, you know, my parents have claimed that they're not watching, you know, they're not watching any news anymore or paying it, you know, and I know they haven't been, but I know the reason why is because, you know, whenever they came, they didn't bring their satellite receiver with them this time. When they came, you know, they came to Arkansas sort of later in the summer. They didn't bring their satellite receiver with them. So they've just been, you know, if they've been watching television at all, it's just been local, like the local digital broadcast channels. And so, you know, and that's probably a good thing, because otherwise they would sit there and probably turn that, you know, turn the crap on and out of boredom and kind of watch whatever. And you're really better off just shutting it off. You really are. So, you know, fake news, propaganda, you know, it's, you know, it's, and what we're getting now is actually Soviet style propaganda. It's actually probably more sophisticated than the Soviet propaganda or even the German propaganda under Hitler. This is probably the most sophisticated propaganda of all, because we're in a supposedly free country where there's free media. You know, it supposedly has, you know, perfect freedom of speech, and yet here we are with this super, super sophisticated mind control propaganda that they're pushing. And, you know, but that's what it takes. And if you are going to develop immunity to something, whatever it is, whether it's an actual germ, virus, bacteria, if you're going to develop, or mind control techniques, if you're going to develop immunity, you have to be exposed. You know, you can, you know, I guess with, you know, you can receive inoculations or whatever, as far as, you know, vaccines and what have you with many viruses and bacteria, you know, for physical diseases. And I don't know if there's an equivalent, maybe there's an equivalent inoculation for, you know, mind control type stuff, but, you know, probably not. You just have to be exposed to it. And the thing that makes you vulnerable, of course, is being upset. And I think that one of the things people are, you know, many people now are seeing how just angry, pissed off, upset, violent many people on the left are. And people, you know, just average people now are seeing that. It's, you know, because it's one thing for me to tell you about, you know, the dangers of being upset. It's another when you see, you know, quite a number of people actually, you know, sort of possessed with that sort of rage, and what it, you know, how crazy it makes them and what it does to them. They become a very graphic, in many cases, a very graphic example, to the point where people may not be, you know, they can see what it is and understand what it is. They may not be able to articulate what's going on, but they can see what that is, see what being upset does, and the negative impact that it has. So that's you know we actually have to be exposed to that in order to develop resistance to it. And I think that's kind of, you know, been happening for some time now. And I think it's kind of ongoing, and it's even accelerating to a degree. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, once Trump is reelected, you know, who knows what these people will do. But as I say, it's best you don't argue with them. You know, if they don't have anything to take it out, it's a person, place, or thing, usually people. But if they don't have anybody to take it out on, it that kind of rage turns against them, and, you know, then they become depressed. You know, that's true with all rage, all resentment. If it doesn't have anywhere to go, it comes right back on you, and you become depressed. So if you want to get rid of your, you know, really get rid of depression, you have to get rid of your resentment. Drop it like a hot potato. You have to face whatever it is, and sort of allow your conscience to get you. Make friends with your conscience instead of being, you know, full of rage. And, you know, the rage is a way of sort of keeping conscience at bay. Rage, resentment is a way of playing God in your own mind. You know, kind of illegitimately playing God in your own mind. So, but it makes you suggestible. It makes you programmable. It makes you vulnerable to the propaganda. It makes you vulnerable to the fake news. And the more upset you are, the worse it is. The more suggestible you are, the more suggestible you become. So, and it's on a kind of a, think of it as being sort of on a sliding scale. So it's best to just drop it, and you know, existence is you know, without being upset, existence without rage, existence without resentment is a pretty sweet thing. So anyway, I've got a couple of Voxer files from Joel. One was, I don't know what the dates are on them, but one was earlier, and then the later one is was just from like 2 or 3 days ago while I was home. Excuse me. So we'll go ahead and start listening to Joel, and I'll probably, I listened to the first few seconds of the first file, and I think he's beginning, you know, kind of mentioning the, you know, this impeachment scam, but you know, and I don't know what he, you know, what the second comment is. So but it, without further ado, here is Joel.
Hey Tom, get caught up with your podcast, and boy, you're I just looked at the previous Voxer was back in August. Anyway, since then a lot's happened. We've got the impeachment is supposedly happening, which right now they ain't got nothing. There's no there. But to go further, though, to kind of respond to your last show, you're right. Not only do they think it's their fault, it actually is their fault. And the reason is who they're running. You can't run someone. Like, for example, Kamala Harris just yesterday said that the wage gap is still real, even though we all know that it's not. That it mostly comes from people, specifically their choices they make. You make one choice, you know, a good example of this is I've always worked full-time since day one of me having a child, my son. My wife hasn't. Of course I make more money than my wife. I did whatever I could to make more money so that I can support my family. Okay? And then the other side of that too is you got a lot of feminists, especially, who will look at all the things that they do outside of their job and think, oh, I should get paid to be a mom too. Oh no, I shouldn't get paid to be a mom. That's not how it works. You know, you choose to be a mom. You know, all this is, everyone chooses to do things. You choose to do this, you choose to do that, and all of a sudden, you know, you're not happy with your life. You know, so it's really ridiculous in the end. So right now, you know, reluctantly, Pelosi seems to be going for impeachment. You know, whether that's the right decision or not, for I can tell you this, if they screw up, and I really think they are at this point, it kind of seals the presidency for Donald Trump. Not only that, but I think it also seals Congress too, which, not a bad thing, not a bad thing. But the thing that just probably bothers me more about this, about the left, is that they out and out accuse him of doing all the things that they themselves do. You know, oh, he's so corrupt. He's so corrupt. He had this phone call with the Ukrainian president. And Hillary didn't. And Hunter didn't try, or Biden didn't try to use his position. Now, nowhere am I saying that that justifies what Trump did if he actually did anything wrong, which I don't think he did. And, but if Trump did something wrong, do it. Get it over with. Quit dragging your feet. Quit making it political. Do your job. And see, and that's the thing. I think Trump doesn't care what people think about him politics-wise. Trump just wants to do his job.
Okay, that was Joel's first comment. Thank you, Joel. So, like I said, you know, they're kind of really going insane. And I think that... you know, as these deep, so-called deep state players feel the kind of the jaws of justice, you know, if you think of like a gear, the gears of justice are beginning to, you know, bite into them a little bit, or they're getting really close to biting them, and they're, you know, there's kind of no escape. They're sort of like cornered rats, and you know, they're lashing out any way they can. And, you know, and you, not only do you have the Democrats with the impeachment thing, but there's a certain number of Republicans, including Romney and some other ones that are, you know, that are just, they're revealing who they are for all to see. And, you know, they're maybe, are they guilty themselves possibly, or are they just puppets? Or both, you know. But, you know, it. What's happening, among other things, is sort of separating these people out. And that's been going on for a long time. You know, the people that, you know, that Trump, for whatever reason, that Trump just drives insane, you know, it really kind of separates them out. You know, one of them that I was kind of, you know, it was interesting, I thought was interesting, was Ann Coulter. You know, because I don't know, a number of months ago, she just said, well, I've had enough with, she wrote an article, I've had enough of Trump, blah, 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 blah. And then ever since then, she's just sort of faded into the background. And, you know, she's sort of, I don't know, I don't pay much attention to what she says now. And I think that a lot of people aren't paying attention to what she says. You know, Glenn Beck, of course, was just really against Trump to begin with. And then he lost a good, probably most, you know, good chunk of his audience, a loyal audience that he'd built up over the years. And then now he's kind of behind Trump. But, you know, he's kind of said he's kind of come to support Trump, but I'm sorry, Glenn, I kind of don't listen to you anymore. You know, once in a while I'll find a little clip on YouTube and it may or may not be interesting, but, you know, now he's kind of adopted the Colonel Sanders look. You know, he needs to go on a low-carb diet. That would help him out a lot. By the way, diet. I am still on my low-carb, you know, diet pretty much. No pasta, potatoes, rice, or bread, or cakes, cookies, candies, etc., etc. Now, I did eat a small piece of wedding cake this past Sunday with no consequences, didn't cause any digestive issues. It, you know, seemed to go just fine, and that was, you know, probably the only exception that I'm willing to make is, you know, my nephew got married, and so I ate a small piece of wedding cake just to say that I did, and so that was that. And, you know, I've gone back to my, you know, just regular thing. No pasta, potatoes, rice, or bread, or, you know, any of the overt poisonous, and it really is a slow poison, carbohydrates, you know, the processed carbohydrates. So, and my weight, you know, when I'm home, I'll typically weigh, you know, get up in the morning and then go to the, you know, go to the bathroom if I need to, and then weigh, and typically, you know, my weight now is about 156, 157, maybe sometimes 158. It will vary a little bit, but it seemed to be kind of hanging around 156, which I haven't, you know, weighed 156 in years. You know, so that's pretty amazing, and I eat some pretty big meals. You know, sometimes, you know, because I eat in restaurants all the time, so I end up with some pretty good sized meals, but it's not how much you eat, it's what to avoid. And some foods are just, they're, you know, the pasta, potatoes, rice, and bread are fattening. I'm sorry. And especially, you know, cakes, cookies, candies. If you want to get fat, if you want to, you know, jack up your insulin levels, you want to put on weight and not be able to get rid of it, you want to, you know, sort of turn yourself into type 2 diabetes, you know, go in for the pre-diabetes and then go for the full-blown thing, eat the pasta, potatoes, rice, bread, and all the cakes and cookies and candies. Just keep eating this stuff, and you're headed right for it. You know, so, you know, and type 2 diabetes is no laughing matter. You know, and I think it's really not, you know, people think it's too much glucose problem. It's actually, it starts with too much insulin. It's a high insulin problem, because I watched a video and a guy did a really good job of explaining it. You know, you take someone that's younger and, you know, let's say a teenager, and you, you know, you actually measure their insulin level. And I don't know what the measurement unit is for insulin, but according to this guy, and he had a chart, it would be a 3. You know, so you measure their fasting glucose, and you measure their fat, you know, which would be like 85 or 90, which that would be considered normal. And then, you know, a teenager, and then you measure their, in the same blood sample, you measure their fasting glucose or their fasting insulin level, and it would be a 3. Well, you come back, let's say you come back, you know, 10, 15 years later, same person, you know, you measure their fasting glucose level. Still, you know, 85 or 90, still, you know, well within the normal range. But their insulin level, their fasting insulin level has doubled. It's now a 6. Come back 10, 15 years later, you know, and the same thing's going on. You still got the, you know, the glucose level is still, you know, 85, 90. which is still considered normal, but then the fasting insulin level has gone up more and more and more. And so that just can, you know, you keep coming back over as decades pass, and at some point, the pancreas can't keep up anymore. You know, it's pumping out all this insulin. Of course, you have, the phenomena insulin resistance, where the body cells become resistant to the insulin because they've already accepted all the sugar that they can, and so they downregulate the number of insulin receptors, and so then the pancreas pumps out more and more insulin, and then at some point it just can't keep up anymore, and then the at that point the glucose kind of goes out of control. You know, and then you check the fasting glucose, and they've got some ridiculous number, 160 or something, where it's way too high. And at that point, there is too late. You know, so the pre-diabetes phase could actually be measured if you go in for your physical, you just tell the doctor, and you may have to pay for it out of your pocket. It costs about $40, at least in the U.S. Tell them you want a fasting, tell your doctor, I'll pay for it. The insurance won't pay for it. I'll pay for it. I want a fasting insulin level. And find out what that fasting insulin level is, because just the fasting glucose isn't enough. Because your body is going to do whatever it possibly can. Your pancreas is going to do whatever it can to keep that glucose level at the right level. And, but in the meantime, it's producing all this insulin, and, it just keeps going up and up and up, and, like Al Gore's hockey stick graph, maybe not quite that fast, but you get the idea, it goes up, and then at some point, that's the warning signal, and doctors are just kind of ignoring it. They don't measure it. They don't think it's important, or many of them don't. Some of them know, but some of them do know what it is, but, most of them don't seem to know that, and they certainly don't measure it as a matter of course, the fasting insulin. And it's very important, because that's a warning light that's going off. It's saying, hey, you got a problem. The solution to the problem is to cut back on the carbohydrates. And then, your body will respond by cutting back on the amount of insulin produced. But we need a certain amount of insulin or we die. You got to have it. It's a hormone that we absolutely have to have as part of the metabolic process. But too much of it is toxic. And it has, very... toxic effects on the, on the various parts of the body, including the arteries, etc. So, but that's the warning thing. But so people think that, I can eat this. I can, and I used to think this way. I can just, I've always been able to eat sugar, and if I wanted to, I could eat the sugary snacks or whatever, and not really face any consequences. But who knows? My insulin level was probably creeping up. I have no doubt that it was. I have no way of knowing now whether it was, other than just surmising that it was. But I'm sure it probably was. And, and even though, you measure the fasting glucose, it's perfect. Not a problem. No problem at all. But the thing that's keeping it there is kind of going haywire. It's really beginning to ramp up over the decades. So that's something to you go in for your physical, even if you got to pay for it, the $40 out of your pocket, the so-called C panel it's insulin. The fasting insulin level. Insist on that, and even if you got to pay for it out of your pocket, and find out what it is. If it's really low, if it's a 3, hey, hurrah, you're in good shape. But if you're in your 40s or your 50s or whatever, or even 30s, of course, I'd say even in your 20s, because there's a lot of people that are now ending up with type 2 diabetes even in their 20s. So, insist on that. Find out what that number is. And if it's more than three, you better start paying attention. But I see so many people, all they would have to, you know, there are so many obese people, all they really would have to do would be to just, they're heading for problems. Cut out the carbohydrates. You don't need them. You know, you really don't need them. You can exist perfectly well without them. So, anyway, that little aside, everything, you know, my weight is going good. I'm feeling, you know, really good. Still have no acid. You know, one of the big things is apart from feeling better, etc., and losing the weight, because at this point I've lost upwards of 30 pounds. Excuse me. No more acid reflux. You know, that's a boon, not having acid reflux. So, so anyway, kind of getting back to Joel's comment there. You know, the Democrats and some of the Republicans, is, you know, the deep state people, so-called deep state, at this point are really getting desperate. You know, the gears are beginning to grind together. And some of them are, I'm convinced many of them are going to get caught in the gears of justice. I think what William Barr has done, you know, with the Department of Justice investigation, what he has done is he's methodically gone, you know, started at the bottom and, you know, kind of worked his way around. You know, he started at the bottom with different, you know, all these different people, interviewing a bunch of different people. And then he slowly worked his way up the chain to find out, you know, and the way they do that, you know, they're asking the same questions to a bunch of different people, and then they can kind of compare notes, you know, find out, you know, is this consistent with the facts that we know? Are these stories consistent between these different people? Are the stories consistent, or, you know, and then you can find out who's telling the truth and who's lying. And then as the circle tightens and he works his way up to the people at the top of the pyramid, they already know all the answers. And then they can find out, you know, they stand a really good chance of nailing the people that committed the crimes. And at this point, it is a criminal investigation. So it's happening. So, you know, it's a slow process. I know people have gotten frustrated with it, but it is in the process of happening. And, you know, regardless of whether it's Democrats or Republicans, we need to, you know, justice needs to prevail. We cannot have people that are above the law and that can just do things and get away with them because they, you know, they think they're part of the elite or whatever. And we can't have that and still have a, you know, kind of a functioning country that, you know, that America has been. America, one of the things that, you know, that has made America great in many ways, really has to, it's not resources or what have you, it really revolves around morality, you know. And I've said that for a long time, for years, in fact. It really does revolve around morality, and in fact it revolves around Christian morality. And I know some people probably don't want to hear that, but it really does revolve around that. And it's not perfect. It's, you know, the people, you know, maybe the concepts are perfect. People certainly are not. But you have, if you can have as many people as possible sort of adhering to that, you know, to a kind of a basic Christian morality, you know, that is, then you have, you know, those people are able to interact with each other and develop great things. And great things end up happening. And that's why America has been such a great country. So, you know, and you take the, you know, those ethics away, and you just, you know, you end up, you look at the animal world, and they've got, you know, although they can't sin, you've got the equivalent of raping and robbing and murdering and pillaging and lying. That goes on all the time. You know, there are, birds, for example. There's some bird, I don't remember the name of it. You know, they'll lay their eggs and have, you know, some other species raise their bird, raise the chick, you know, till the egg hatches and feed it. You know, so that's deception. And there's all kinds of examples of that in nature. You know, of course, nature, you know, the animals can't sin. Human beings, we're different. Sorry, I know there are people that want to say we're just animals. Well, we're more than that. And, you know, for various reasons, we are more than that. And so if we want to exist optimally as human beings, we have to have morality. We have to have, basically the Christian ethics. And those are the ones that seem to work the best. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. You want to take it out of that realm, we are playing the best game. You know, we have the best game. The Christian rules of morality result in the best rules of the game, you know, for people to be able to trust each other and interact successfully with each other. You have to have, you know, if you think of it as a game or game rules, that results in the best outcome as a society, as a civilization, as a productive civilization. And but otherwise you just end up with corruption, you know. And there's plenty of, go around the world, there's plenty of examples of corrupt, just utterly corrupt hellhole societies, cultures, cults, basically. Cult being the root word of culture. Culture of corruption. Well, yeah, it's everywhere. You want a civilization, you've got to have moral rules. And of course they arise, they're Christian rules, but they really arise from Judaism. And, you know, you wonder why the Jews are so hated. That's one of the reasons, you know, these rules that they came up with, or, you know, they have are not perfect. You know, they're not perfect people, but the rules are pretty damn good. And that's, you know, Christian really is a sort of arose out of Judaism. So I don't know if you'd want to call it a branch of Judaism or not, but it really does sort of arise out of Judaism. And you look at how successful the Jewish people have been and still are. And it's because they have a system of ethics. They're not perfect, but they've got their ethics. You know, many of them do. So anyway, we'll go ahead and listen to the next comment from Joel. So once again, here's Joel.
Joel McLaughlin here. I thought I'd say hi. I know you haven't recorded one in a while, and that's completely fine. I'm not asking you to. I'm sending this to you from a brand new Note 10 Plus. I probably didn't really make sense to get one with 5G, but I went ahead and did that. Columbus doesn't have it. It's supposed to, according to the folks at Verizon I've talked to, by the end of the year, we're supposed to get enough 5G to make it worthwhile. So far, I'm really liking it. The little Samsung app they use to switch from one phone to the next worked well, and pretty happy with my purchase so far. But on the other side of the things in the world, just makes boggles my mind. This isn't just liberals, it's everyone. But it boggles my mind how much people don't really know how our system works. Case in point, here in Columbus, there was a local TV news guy who supposedly he got caught, arrested. He hasn't been on trial or anything yet for kiddie porn charges. And then there's another Me Too-like thing with a battalion chief here in the fire department. And in both cases, and this is what I myself, I'm trying to back down, but it's like a train wreck, man. I can't help myself sometimes. But Facebook post, the news media will post. You always get these people that are like, lock him up and all that. It's like what I like to call the court of the internet, or, you know, in public opinion, you know. And it makes me glad that we don't live in a country where public opinion is what puts people away for years and years and years. Now the guy, the TV guy, he happens to be the weather guy for the last 30 years in Columbus. And he did already lose his job. And he actually put his plea in today. I think his plea is not guilty, so he'll probably go to trial. But everyone, especially with these two cases, were like, lock him up, lock him up. I'm like, the guys haven't even had their trial yet. It's kind of the same thing with Trump, too, with the impeachment. You know, there are Democrats who want impeachment. They think that once he's impeached, that he'll be out of the office, and that's not true. I mean, he can be impeached by the House, but the Senate has to vote to reject him. And he can be just like Bill Clinton, be impeached and still serve the rest of his time. So, yeah, it just shows the extreme lack of knowledge that our public has for how our system is supposed to work. How I was taught it, that it worked. Now, did this guy, Mike Davis, did he do what he's accused of? Well, the trial's going to decide if he did. And if he did, he'll go to jail. But not until then. You know, I'm so glad we have a country where innocent until proven guilty is how things are supposed to be. I had the privilege, too, several years ago, before I switched to my current job, I had jury duty with Franklin County Court of Common Pleas. And the case that I got sat on jury-wise was really interesting. It was this guy who was a ringleader for a group of people that were... Basically, what they would do is they would go down to Virginia and to Florida and go into these pain clinics. And the pain clinics themselves would send them home with illegal amounts of oxycodone, you know, basically opioids. All right. So, but this guy, he was the ringleader, so he'd send people down to do it all the time. Down Florida, Virginia, and they go to like a...
Uh-oh. That was all of the Voxer file that came through. So I don't know. That's too bad. I think we got the gist of what you were talking about. There are a lot of people that, you know, they just don't know what's going on, and it's been kind of deliberately done via the public education system. You know, it's dumbing people down, and you know, some people, you know, probably a lot of people would be intelligent enough to understand how the system works, but many of them, you know, they're propagandized, they're upset. You know, just imagine how, you know, the a lot of them are upset, you know, the parents, because of the parents, you know, or they don't have both parents. They just got a single parent mom type, single parent household type thing, you know, and they resent the fact that they don't have a dad, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the school system sort of takes over, and, you know, and then we got all this peer pressure, and then the stuff that, you know, the crap that's on television and the entertainment. You know, it's a wonder that the country is able to function as well as it does. So it's, I don't know, but, you know, but there do seem to be a lot of people that just, you know, don't know what's going on, or don't seem to care, or they just, you know, you got the mob type thing that happens online, you know, the lock him up type stuff, you know, and just, I don't know, in a mob environment, simply being accused of something, you know, is often, you know, it's kind of like almost like the death penalty in a sense, or at least from a social standpoint, it's kind of like, it's sort of like the death penalty is being applied to you. You know, if you know, if someone's accused of something, you know, especially of something heinous. So, you know, just, you know, if you, I don't know how familiar you are with the French Revolution. You know, it's really worthwhile to kind of, you know, go through the details of the French Revolution and kind of go through the sequence of what happened. You had, you know, different people that were sort of taking part in the mob. It was a mob mentality that sort of took over during the French Revolution. And you had these people, and a lot of the people that were part of the mob ended up with, you know, their own heads coming off, you know, literally, you know, the guillotine. You know, the French are kind of, I don't know, you got the guillotine thing, you know, where they chop people's heads off, you know, and that's a French thing. I don't know if it's a French invention, but they, you know, they kind of almost seemed obsessed with it. But a lot of the people that end up taking part in mobs end up being sort of destroyed by the mob. You know, the mob kind of comes back and eats them. So it's best, as I say, it's best just to probably not engage with people. You know, if they're part of a, you know, and a mob mentality, of course, is driven. But, you know, it's a possessed mentality. It's driven by possession. These people are literally possessed. And, you know, so a mob is possessed. And so it's best to not, you know, you want to be very careful trying to argue with a possessed person. You know, whether, you know, if it's just, you know, they're politically possessed or whatever, it's best to not argue or interact with, you know, or especially, you know, try to argue with a possessed person. That's dangerous. You know, you may interact, you know, I interact with my parents. But I'm not interacting with them, you know, as far as, you know, I won't argue with them anymore. I will not talk politics. That's, you know, that topic with me is off limits. So, and it's really best to, you know, kind of keep it that way with friends and family. Especially, you know, if they're possessed. So, but the mob is possessed. The mob mentality is a possession mentality. Those people aren't, you know, they're not really, you know, you think of you remember back in the Matrix movie, you know, and there's a chase scene where they're chasing the hero. I think it's in the original movie, you know, they're chasing, you know, and you have the, you know, so any person, you know, so you see him, you know, at one point the character is sort of going through an apartment, you know, he kind of goes into this apartment and there's an old lady cooking something, and all of a sudden she morphs into you know, one of the Agent Smith, you know. And so, you know, the Agent Smith can kind of take over at any point with any person in the Matrix. So, and that's really a good metaphor, because someone that's possessed may look normal. You know, they may behave, in many cases they behave normally, but at the end of the day, they're not themselves. They're possessed. And so, you know, possessed people can do weird things. So it's best to just stay away from that. And certainly online, you know, it's a mob kind of mentality, especially, you know, Facebook to a certain extent, but especially Twitter. Twitter is largely a mob kind of mentality, and you've got to be very careful about, you know, so I don't even have the Twitter. I still have the Facebook app installed on my phone. And the only reason that I do is because my family's on there. You know, many family members are on there and a few friends, but I don't have Twitter installed on my phone at all. And I, you know, it's been, you know, probably years since I've posted anything to it or even looked at it. I don't really care about it. It's just, you know, you know, who cares about it? It's just a mob mentality. You're better off staying away from it. You know, at least I feel I'm better off staying away from it, and I certainly suggest other people stay away from it as well. And especially in this climate, you know, it's kind of a mob, dog-eat-dog climate that we find ourselves in. So, you know, it's best just to stay away from it. And then, you know, at some point, I don't know what the aftermath is going to be. Once all of this is said and done, I don't know. You know, I think the country will probably survive for at least the time being. I think Donald Trump is going, you know, he is going to, you know, have his second term. And then there may be, you know, there may be a Trump dynasty. You know, we could have Donald Trump Jr. run for president at some point. We could have Ivanka be president at some point. We could even have, you know, Barron Trump could be president at some point in the future. You know, so we don't know. But I do think that, you know, Donald Trump is going to end up serving his, you know, full 8 years. And I think the wheels of justice are going to send a lot of people to jail or whatever, you know, because I think some of them committed treason, you know, and the penalty for treason is pretty severe. So we'll see what happens, but justice will prevail. I do believe that it will. So it's just, you know, it's a slow process. We just have to be patient. So, but I don't know what the aftermath is. What do we do with people that, you know, are sort of terminally possessed. You know, how is the mob going to react? Is basically the sort of the question. And I'm not sure. It would probably be, you know, at some point I was reading a book about mob behavior. And I'm, you know, in the actual mob behavior, you know, once a, you know, let's say a mob is, you know, rioting and they overturn cars and set fires. Once the thing is over, you know, and then they sort of, you know, sanity sort of returns. It would be good to, I think, for me to sort of study that and find out how that process works. I'm sure there are people that have written about it. I need to go looking for stuff about mob behavior, you know, and sort of the aftermath of you know, sort of mob behaviors. And see what happens with people, and you know, kind of how, if they are able to return to sanity, you know, or obviously they are, or at least most of them are. I'd say that maybe a majority of them are. What happens to them after, you know, someone's been part of a mob? What happens to them afterwards, after the mob event is over? That would be sort of behavior, you know, knowledge of behavior that worth pursuing. So thank you, Joel, for the comment. Sorry it didn't all come through. Hope everyone has had a great week. Hope you have a great weekend, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.